Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Chad Brown here. You may remember me as a linebacker in the NFL or as a reptile breeder and the owner of Pro Exotics. I've been herping since I was a boy, and I've dedicated my life to advancing the industry and educating the community about the importance of reptiles. I also love to encourage the joy of breeding and keeping reptiles as a hobbyist, which is why my partner Robin Markland and I created the Reptile Report. The Reptile Report is our online news aggregation site bringing you the most up-to-date discussions from the reptile world. Visit thereptilereport.com every day to stay on top of the latest reptile news and information. We encourage you to visit the site and submit your exciting reptile news, photos, and links so we can feature outstanding breeders and hobbyists just like you. The Reptile Report offers powerful branding and marketing exposure for your business, and the best part is, it's free. If you're a buyer or a breeder, you got to check out the Reptile Report Marketplace. The Marketplace is the reptile world's most complete buying and selling destination, full of features to help put you in touch with the perfect deal. Find exactly what you're looking for with our advanced search system. Search by sex, weight, morph, or other keywords, and use our Buy It Now option to buy that animal right now. Go to marketplace.thereptilereport.com and register your account for free. Be sure to link your Marketplace account to your Ship Your Reptiles account to earn free tokens with each shipping label you book. Use the Marketplace to sell your animals and supplies and maximize your exposure with a platinum ad that also gets fed to the Reptile Report and our powerful Marketplace Facebook page. Buying or selling? Use shipyourreptiles.com to take advantage of our discounted priority overnight shipping rate. ShipYourReptiles.com can also supply you with the materials needed to safely ship your animals successfully. Use ShipYourReptiles.com to take advantage of our discounted priority overnight shipping rates, the materials needed to ship your reptiles successfully, live customer support, and our live, on-time arrival insurance program. We got you covered. Visit thereptilereport.com to learn or share about the animals. Click on the link to the marketplace, find that perfect pet or breeder, then visit shipreptiles.com to ship that animal anywhere in the United States. We are your one-stop shop for everything reptile related.
Of Morelia Python Radio, but it's not Tuesday. What the hell?
I'm totally confused of what's happening. I don't know how to feel or think anymore. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Up has become down, black, white, over.
Oh, yeah, I know. I kept thinking as I'm coming home because I was tired, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Oh, I have a show tonight. Oh, man.
Yeah, and you
I
know,
can't do this. Back, I can't do that.
Yeah. And of course, you text me, you're like, don't forget tonight. And I'm like out lifting a cage above my head. I'm like, uh-oh, son of a bitch. And of course I forgot because it's not Tuesday.
Yeah, it looks like we all might have forgot because I don't have Chad isn't here yet, but we'll give him a couple
minutes. You and I can talk to each other, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
How are you?
I'm good. Not a lot has happened in the last 24 hours.
No, it hasn't.
That's how it goes.
The entire episode right now is just us staring at each other. So
yeah, we were going to do this short episode about, you know, the pros and cons of promoting or selling reptiles strictly online versus show, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I guess real quick, maybe we'll just jump into it for a few. But the cool thing that I saw today, Mr. Jason Bailey started a new group called Morelia, et cetera.
Did I get invited to something again that I have not clicked on yet on my Facebook page?
Yeah, you didn't see it. So basically the idea of the group is that I guess I think we all kind of have this bug as of late. I've seen it in quite a number. I guess this goes back to our conversation when we were hampered. And each of us had those little side project things that we were talking about and what we'd like to get into. And I know Jason has the Timor Pythons, and, you know, now you're officially a boa breeder.
Shut up, shut your dirty mouth.
et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I guess the idea of the group is just, you know, the whole – side project thing, and maybe some of the people that you know from Morelia have some other cool projects going on. So it's just a way to show it off. So there's some cool stuff getting posted over there. So cool idea for a group. another group to look at on Facebook. I like, damn it.
Yeah, another one.
I had to check another one. Damn. But yeah, it's a cool idea, and it seems, like I said, as of late, it seems like a lot of people are having that itch to work with something different than what, you know, the norm is for you. So that's cool. Yeah. So yeah, I still don't see him. I guess I could try to send a message there, but I guess as far as, well, we'll start, just jump into the topic. We got about 15 minutes and then we can jump off. So selling snakes online, we've talked about this before. I guess the thought is
believe that you need a mix of online as well as show presence, not just because of selling, is that you also need to promote yourself, and it's much better when people can put a face to your name, and you also get to know the other breeders in the area. So,
right. Yeah. I guess the cons of doing the show, I guess it depends on what show, is the whole, you know, taking your animals out, exposing them to other animals, you know, the whole, I guess, mite thing and all that kind of those dirty things that happen when you're going to shows and such, but I don't know. I think it kind of depends on. Well, actually, I should say that I used to think that it kind of depends on what you are selling. You know,
well, no, it also depends on what you're selling, because you know, your high end, low end, stuff like that. But I think it also depends on. It also helps you be introduced to new species. I mean, if I sit at home and all I have is carpet pythons and all I look at is carpet pythons, I might see pictures of things, but the sheer way I always tell you, the best way to get you to buy a snake is I put it in your hand. And
yes,
and you're going to want it. So
yeah. And that works every time. You know, absolutely every time. You know, I think of, again, I use the example of the olive python, where it's kind of like, you know, but then when it's in your hand, you're like, whoa, this is pretty cool.
This is kind of cool. Holy crap. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I'll take two.
Yeah. That's how it is. I mean, like, you know, you really like the Bloods, you really like the Borneos, and you were all about them. But then the second Matt threw one in your hand, or we went over to Matt's place, you were sold. You were done.
Yeah.
Completely done.
Yeah, that was it.
So.
They are cool. But I guess the pro of selling online, though, would be the fact that if you market yourself well or promote your website, you're going to be exposed to a lot more people, and maybe people mm-hmm. that aren't necessarily, you know, reptile people. So, you know, it's like they will find you somehow, and, mm-hmm. you know, be able to find out about you and what you have available. I think though that the most important thing, obviously, if you're going to sell online, is your website has to be top notch. You know, you can't have like a half-ass website, or
you really can't.
You can't have it not updated, and that really should be a main part of your whole thing. You know.
Yeah.
I think you see that way too often. There's some people that don't have their websites updated since like 2009.
No, and it's true. It's like, you know, coming sooner, the rare morph on the block. What's up with this jaguar carpet python? It's like, wait a minute, what? So, I mean, like, you know, you have to update yourself, and it's just the way it is, and it also comes with the territory. I'm terrible at updating myself and my pictures, but I do attempt to do what I can, but I think you need a good show and internet or website presence, not just some guy with a bunch of classified ads and goes to the shows. I mean, yes, you can be known for that, and yes, you can you can sell for that. But if you want to be a high-level breeder, I think you need to have the people to be able to reach you, people to be able to see your stuff, relate to what you got going on, check out your stuff. So I think you almost have to have that. Otherwise, you're just basically, you're very old school. I mean, you can always kind of tell the old school guys from the new school guys. The old school guys have a basement full of stuff that very few people have seen, and you only ever see them at shows to really know what's going on, and every time you ask them, oh, how'd you produce this, they go, oh, trade secret. When the new school guys, they have internet, you know, websites, every animal in the collection is documented, there's a story behind every animal. When you call them or text them and say, man, how did you do that, you go, they just fire back with this. So it's and they're always welcome to have people come over just to check out their stuff and geek out about reptiles. I mean, I'm going to have you, Zach, and Matt over soon, and I assume I'm selling carpet pythons to Matt, and then you and Zach are leaving with pairs of Dominican Red Mountain Boas. So I think this is a selling opportunity. I'm going to have charts and pointers, and I might be wearing a suit.
Yeah, that's a good Now, let me ask you this question. When you sell online, do you think that you're – I think it's important, the whole experience of, let's say, unboxing, so to speak. So, like, you know, you have some people that just throw the snake in a box and call it a day and send it off. And you have other people that put their little spins on that experience. You know what I mean? I don't know about you, but I guess maybe the reptile nerd in me or something. It's like if you get something and there's like a nice little added touch inside the box when you open it up, I always think that that's...
I'm not going to put cookies in my boxes, okay? That's
no,
Zach's
that's...
thing.
Yeah.
All right? We
no,
can't
that's...
all do the... What do you want me to do? You want me to send strippers with the snake? What do you want? Tell me what you want.
I'm not getting anything shipped.
<You know? laughs> Yeah. Yeah, now I move. You might be like, I don't want to drive an hour. Just put it in the box.
Send it overnight.
You send it over FedEx. But the thing is that I do agree that the subtle touches, like having them boxed in there and including some business cards or a note or calling and texting when you know that the box should have arrived, possibly sending an email a week or two later asking how everything's doing. Subtle touches like that is what really makes or breaks you, not only as a reptile breeder, but as a business person in general. I mean, I would want to know how my babies are doing, and I always open up those channels of communication. I have a whole gallery on my Facebook page of pictures that I've been sent over the years of people who have my babies, have raised them up and taken pictures of them, and I post them up because there you go. There are people who are proud of them and happy with them, and they're all doing very well, and I enjoy seeing that. So it's, again, the subtle little things that make it up.
Yeah, it's all about the UE, the user experience. You know, it's all about that. You know, when they're gonna get that on that end, that whole experience. Anything that you can do to make that experience better, I think is stuff you have to think about. And probably, again, I guess when you buy a pair of snakes and you have a future plans of breeding it, and maybe you want to take your hobby to where you have, like, I'm not even talking about doing it full time. Maybe just a hobby that kind of supports itself and you do make a little extra money on the side. You know, you should be thinking about those type of things. I mean, like, it seems like the reptile breeder is, you know, you have to think about the part-time electrician, you're a photographer.
You're a veterinary technician. You wear a lot of hats, and you should either want to run it as a business or at least run the hobby similar to it, because things go a lot smoother. You seem more professional and more people want to buy from you. I've seen people who have four or five snakes, maybe produce one clutch a year, who are more professional or present themselves more professional than some people who have warehouses full of snakes.
Yeah,
and have better reputations. So, and that's that's the way it should be.
What do you buy? How do you take the whole thought that the more you do, the less your that little added touch goes down? So, if you're sending out thousands of snakes, you know, I often hear, well, I'm sending out thousands of snakes. You know, they get the snake in the box and that's it. I don't have time to do all these little extra things. I mean, I guess, you know, I don't know. I guess
that you can't mass print a letter and tell the people who are boxing up your animals to put letter in box.
Yeah. So I think about this. I'm going to give you my experience of past. So I bought many carpet pythons from many people. Okay.
Really?
I'm
shocked.
And it wasn't until I got the Gamma Jag, Gamma Diamond Jungle Jag, that whole experience was presented to me, okay? So, like, when I opened it up, there was a letter from John, and it was signed, you know, "Welcome to the Morelia Trophy Club." And although, granted, maybe that's a little corny or whatever, you know what I mean? It was that whole experience of, you know, this is his brand, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like he promoted it in a way that,
yeah,
you know,
and
you feel a part of
cool.
Some unique club or something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that experience sticks with me, and that makes me think of, you know, here's this whole thing, he's got the this letter and, you know, with sort of the animal, the clutch, all the info, the feed card, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it was very, you know, I don't know. It just felt like I was buying a more of a luxury type of thing than just buying a, you know, it was the experience, the UE, you know.
Is it bad that I now want to send one of those, like, spring-loaded snakes in my boxes now when I mail out, oh, nice touch from Rogue Ping, ah, Jesus, and then, like, the baby's in the bottom, but, you know.
Only you could get away with that, Owen.
Could. Everybody else would be pissed. I mean, it's just...
They would be like, that Owen, he's such a character.
See, I would just do that with you because it'd be like, hey, man, I sent you something really cool in the second box. Really? Bam. But, you know.
Yeah.
I'd pay $50 to ship it to you.
By the way, I threw something extra in the box for
something
you.
Something very cool in the second box. Yeah.
You'll really like it. I'm like, oh, sweet. Extra bonus snake or something.
Extra
from
bonus snake?
I got another question for you. What do you think about the whole, you throw in that extra snake without the person knowing?
I like that idea. I like it a lot between friends and breeders because it's like, hey, man, you know, you bought a lot from here. We collaborated on this and we talked about this. We're really cool with each other. Something fun and extra for you. That's cool, but that is entirely up to the breeder, you know. Don't anybody be calling me expecting other shit now.
The reason I ask is, like, what if you send it and the person doesn't necessarily want it? You know what I mean?
Like, see, that's the other thing. It's like, what if you sent me something and I just sold it? I mean, I imagine you'd feel kind of insulted by that. But, you know, obviously the guys who do that stuff, it's, you know, it would be something pretty rare, and I know it's a gift, and you kind of want to hold on to it for a while. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can talk about this on the air. I hope we can. But anyway, another experience that I had a while back, Derek Roddy. I bought quite a few carpet pythons from him, and you know, we had talked back and forth about blackheads, and I was kind of like, I'm not sure if I'm ready to take the plunge, and although I would love to have them, I think they're cool. Not really sure if that's, you know, something that I want to get into. And then I was, you know, then it was, I'd listened to him on like Reptile Radio, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is going to be awesome. I want some and blah, blah, blah. And then, he's like, hey man, I threw something extra in the box for you. I hope you dig it. And, when it came, he told me, you know, if you don't, then just do me a favor and send it back. I was like, okay, whatever. And then I open up the box. I'm looking at the carpet pythons that I got from him, and, you know, I'm super excited about it. And then there's this extra bag, and I'm like, huh, what's this? And I open it up, and out pops a blackhead. And I'm like, what the holy hell, you know? you know, so that was
kind of cool. And that's something nice. I mean, like, you know, obviously, when you talk to somebody or you work with somebody and you take them and you, I just totally lost. Oh, somebody buys from you, you talk to them. Of course, like, you know, there's prices that things are listed for. Then there's prices that you will let things go for. Then there are prices for the general public. And then there's prices for friends. So, obviously, when someone kind of gets into the friend category or they've bought a lot from you, you'll shave, you know, dollars and cents off. If they're a real good friend, you know, you extend credit to some people. It's kind of like the whole, like, you know, if you called me up tomorrow and said you wanted, like, 3 super caramels, I'd be like, come get them because, you know, I ain't feeding your shit for you. You come get it. So, it'd be one of those things. It's just the way it is. It's the way it builds. And everybody makes those connections if you're in the reptile industry long enough to do those things. And, you know, there's also the collaborating on projects where it's like, dude, I got this, this coming season, you sent one of your red tiger females to me to breed with my male. Because apparently he'll breed a piece of rope and you have 12 red tigers. So, you know, why not?
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where you're like, you're taking it. I'm like, nah, and then I'm going to throw it in with a boy later. So, you know, it is what it is. It becomes that. And you can't force said things, and you can't automatically assume just because you bought a pair of snakes from somebody once that it's going to be that way.
Right.
But, you know, if you hang around the sandbox long enough and play nice and share your toys, we'll all be friends. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I like that thinking. Yeah, I mean, you know, another thought that popped into my mind. I saw this post. I think it was maybe the other day, but Dan from DM Exotics, he had apparently got something in, and the snakes were dead, DOA on arrival, and there was a lot of talk back and forth about the fact that people actually ship. snakes that had died that they stuck in their freezer. And I'm thinking,
really?
Would you? That thought would never even pass my mind. Like,
what? Just to be like, oh, you fucked up. It died. It's all your fault. I'm keeping your money.
Yeah.
That's screwed up.
Yeah, it's kind of
messed
up.
I've only ever had one DOA, and it has ruined me for shipping for the rest of my damn life. Because now I'm like, refresh. Where are you, package? I mean, and the person who was supposed to be receiving her called me, sent me videos, and I told him, he's like, do you want me to send the body back? No, I'm like, no. I sent him out a replacement for the animal and an additional animal as well, just because I felt terrible, and it's like, I'm so sorry this happened. And he liked the one I sent him for free better than the one that he got. So I'm like, whatever, dude. He was just, and you know what? And it's that level of, I was actually talking with Nick Mutton about this today. It's that level of professionalism. Anybody, he said something to me, and I actually really liked it. He said, anybody can be a good business person when everything is going right. It's when you can be a good person or a good business person when everything is going wrong is what sets you aside from other people.
Yes. Yeah.
So the shit hit the fan. You were selling. That's why one of the reasons I never sell babies until they're ready to go. I never take money until you're getting ready to take it from me. It's a small payment plan. Because imagine if the boas that were just born yesterday, imagine if I sold them all, like in pairs to people, and be like, oh, you'll get them once they're ready to eat. But then something happens, fries the freaking rack, and they all die. But I already took everybody's money and spent it. What the hell am I going to do?
Yeah, I guess that's another part of the whole thing with, I guess you got to keep it, you know, you got to hold on to that, I guess, I mean, that's something that I've kind of looked at, like, you know, I guess that would be what an escrow account where you're kind of like saying, okay, you have at whatever your terms and conditions are. I guess that's another thing with selling online is that you need clear,
solid terms and conditions.
Yeah.
And you got to stick to them. I mean,
sure. Mine
were written by a friend of mine who's a lawyer, and I've made several alterations to them as shit has come up. But
sure. You
have got to stick to them, you know,
yeah. And
it's one of those things where I used to offer payment plans for everything until somebody was like, can I have a 4-month payment plan for a snake that's $100? I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? So, you know, you have to make alterations because there's always going to be something you didn't think of. So you have to stick to it, but you got to be fluid as well. You got to be able to bend and move and curl and turn. You know, it's not an exact science. We aren't selling freaking pet rocks here where it's like the rock will arrive to you via U.S. postage in 5 days.
Right.
It is $2 because it weighs this much. There's different things here. So.
Yeah. The terms and condition things and the payment plan, I've often thought that, you know, what is expensive for me is not necessarily expensive for somebody else. And am I missing a customer? So I'm with you with the whole, you know, payment plan, $100, you know, who doesn't have $100? But then part of me thinks like, what if this person is, like, just getting into this and, you know,
see
what I mean? Because I think about when
now,
I was 20, I didn't necessarily have,
But here's my thing. If you can't get $100 together and spend it on a snake, you obviously cannot maintain and care for it properly with the budget you have. Take your time. Save your money, call me when you're ready, I will have something available for you. Also, you're picking the $100 snake, but there's a $60 snake over there. So you just want the $100 snake that bad? Now, it's like, and it's just the way it is. I have had people who really want a $100 snake and then will come up to me and say, man, I only got $80. But if you really want that $100 snake and – you know, I can see it's legitimate, but you only have $80. Will I let you take it for 20? Well, that really depends on what's going on with me and how many of these I got at home and stuff like that. But more often than not, probably. But if it comes to that you're just somebody who's trying to make a deal on me and you won't pay the $100 because you're trying to haggle me down, or you want to do a payment plan because you're just going to whittle it out of me or something like that. Plus, I have to care for and feed that animal while you're paying me. I won't do payment plans for things under $100. And I also request half up front for most of my payment plans, just because that's the way it goes. So, you know, if I have something that is, I think exactly, let me go pull up the Rogue Facebook page, because I'm going to read it word for word, because I think the way I have it set is that if it is under $150 and you want to do payment plans, you have to give me 50% up front, and then the other 50 must be paid within, like, I think, 10 days. And then if it's higher than that, payment plans, So deposits and payment plans, customers are wishing to pay for an animal on an installment basis must do so in two equal installments, as long as the first equals and exceeds the deposit price noted above. Animals will not be shipped until a full purchase price has been reached, received, and cleared. Payment in full is due within 10 days of animals for $100 or less, or in 30 days for animals over $100. Of the recipient of the deposit, accounts more than 10 days or 30 days in heiress will be forfeited unless otherwise expressed, agreed, and by the company. Upon receiving the last payment, the animal will be shipped to your address. There you go.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, you know, the whole thing with deposits and whatnot, I've seen in the ball python world that that deposits are something like a lot of people have it where it's a non-refundable deposit, and I can understand that, but this is something you have to think about. So if you're gonna do a payment plan and you have somebody that comes along and says, yeah, I want that snake, listen, is there any way you can do I'll say a year payment plan, you know, I'm going to pay X amount a month, and I have it paid off at this time, and let's just say that everything is agreed to, I'm going to put X amount down, yada, yada, yada. Okay, so you go and you do that, and then what happens if you go through, and let's say the snake is, let's bump it up, let's say the snake is $5,000, okay? And they go and they do this payment plan, and they say, "Okay, I'm gonna give you $1,000, and I'm gonna give you $500 a month," and you know, and they're almost at the end. They don't want the snake anymore. So, you know what I mean? Like, what's the responsibility for the breeder? I mean, it's kind
of.
Well,
what would you do?
Whew, what would I do? I guess if in my thing, I have clear things that if you put a deposit, the deposit is non-refundable, okay?
Yeah, so do I.
So if you're going to do that with me, then it's non-refundable. But here's the thing. If I'm going to enter into that payment plan with you, I have to realize that I guess there's a possibility that something might happen. I guess that – like who I would enter into a payment plan with would be very selective. But as you and I both know, I've been screwed over with people that I thought were in the inner clique, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like not always am I going to be – can I just take at face value that just because I know this person and this person is around us that this is going to be legit. So it's kind of this – I don't know. It's kind of this – it's a tricky situation. So I guess basically if I'm going to do that, then every time that that person pays me, I'm going to not be able to use that money until paid off.
Until the animal's done. I mean,
yeah,
you can kind of get by saying that, you know, once they're almost done paying, I'm just going to send you the animal. But then they could decide, hey, man, I don't want this thing anymore. Then what? Or they can even disappear at not finishing the payments. So it's just kind of a tricky thing. And, you know, the other thing comes about with what if they're sending you money, they finally pay it off, you ship it out to them, it dies in transit, but you spent all the money and you don't have a replacement animal.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff. So I think almost the idea, and I honestly had never thought of it before, of you kind of got to have everything in limbo or escrow until they've received it, and now you're allowed to go and spend it. It's scary because it's almost like, and that's one of the reasons people have offered to pay me for animals that aren't even in eggs yet. Like, you know, I have the pair together and they're locking, and some guy's like, I'll put a down payment on a pair of, you know, let's say the Brettles. I'll put a down payment on a pair of the Brettles. I'm like, hell no. It's like, why not?
Right.
I'm like, because I don't even know if I'm going to get them. And I ain't holding your money. And that ain't happening. So there have been several people who are like, I'll buy these things non-feeding. I'm like, nope, they have to eat first. They have to eat until I'm satisfied with them, and then they can go. Because it's not just you wanting this animal. It's also my reputation that's on the line. And I spent 10 years building my rep, and I'll be goddamned if I'm going to lose it over something stupid. Because it just takes one stupid fauna BOI to ruin your entire day.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. I mean, I think, personally, I guess my opinion of that type of thing is that I think with humans in general, human beings in general, usually they jump to the worst case scenario. And in my line of work, I have to look at both sides of the coin. I am notorious for playing devil's advocate because a lot of times I have to go in and argue aside. For whatever reason, and I have to argue our side, you know, like my side, the only way that I feel comfortable doing that is already arguing their side. So I like to argue the other side before I argue my side, and that makes me feel more confident with my arguments for my side. I don't know. When I think of you know, the BOI and all that kind of stuff. I just see people jump to the worst-case scenario first. Don't get me wrong. There's people out there that are scumbags and whatnot. But sometimes shit happens, you know? I don't know. I hope I'm not saying that wrong or come across wrong. I'm not saying that I don't think that people should be held accountable for bullshit. But it seems to me like sometimes people that have a certain reputation – you know, or they're a certain person, they get to skate on those type of things that you would typically see on the BOI. But then you have other people who are not as well known that are not held to that same standard. You know, they want to take that person out and tar and feather them. But the other person is like, oh, yeah, well, you don't understand. That's what's his name or what's her name or whatever. I don't know. I've seen a couple incidences where that has happened, and it's kind of...
Well, he's really good people. I'd be surprised he did that. It's like, well, that doesn't mean he didn't do it. And, you know, and just because this person is a no-name and this person is, like, one of the highest breeders in the country, doesn't mean it didn't happen. So, here's the thing. A lot of times the DOI is stuff that could be completely prevented, but it's just handled inappropriately or somebody's just really upset about it. So... it's almost like the BOI is a customer service, you know, complaint department. And sometimes it has legitimate complaints. Other times it's just people who are pissed off and want other people to want to make sure other people know about it. Where, you know, I saw somebody get on there and complain about a breeder who had offered to take the animal back, had offered to send it a new one, had offered to do everything possible, send a replacement, send another one, and all this other stuff, just because it had a little bit of an underbite. That apparently it was a crested gecko and it would grow out of the underbite 99.9% of the time.
Right.
And these people totally flipped out, and this person's like, well, all right, send it back. I'll send you another one. No, we want a completely other one. Wait a minute, you want a free gecko? Yeah, because of an underbite. Yeah, that's going to go away. Yeah. No, I mean, I would side on the other guy's standpoint there. It's like, what do you mean? Hell no. I just send him back. I'll send you another one. But we like this one. Then what's the problem here? So.
Yeah. Yeah, like, yeah. I guess I look at scenario one. So scenario one would be, you know, I bought something from somebody and I had a bad experience. I would contact that said person, tell them, you know, my situation. We come to some kind of deal, and the breeder doesn't uphold to their side of the deal. Then at that point, you know, okay. Then I think that you have every right. I think you're almost obligated to go and tell people about said person. You know, don't deal with so and so because this is how they handle business. But then on the other side of it, I don't like when they don't give the person an opportunity to fix the situation. Just immediately go to the internet, put it up, this guy's a piece of shit, you know, I bought from him, blah, 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 blah. Then you hear a couple comments down, did you contact him? No, I haven't contacted him yet. You know what I mean? So it's...
Say you just bought a new Python and you're extremely excited about it, and you get it home and it stops eating. And the first thing you do is you're like, you know, all your first post is, oh my God, I got this great Python from Rogue Reptiles. And the next one is like 2 days later, it won't eat. What's wrong with this thing? It's like, dude, chill out. Do not bring all your problems to your Facebook page. Do not blow up my Facebook page because you need to settle down. Do it privately because it could be something that could be easily fixed. And taken care of. Instead, you're running amok out there, and I have to now find you, stop you from talking, and try to figure out what's wrong with this. Because all you're doing is run around saying like that. All you're doing is run around showing that somehow this animal from Rogue Reptiles is wrong. So, you know, if you have an issue with a new animal, you should talk to the person you got it from. The breeder you got it from will be able to walk you through it. Note I said breeder, not dealer. So she'll be able to walk you through everything, make sure everything's okay. And then if after a couple months while doing everything that you're supposed to be doing and you talk to the breeder and something else goes wrong and the breeder's like, hey, I'm stumped. I don't know. This is weird. Then you can go to the forums. Then you can go to the Facebook pages. Then you can ask outside help. It's really, you should go to somebody you trust, and especially if it's an animal that you bought from somebody recently. You know, if you bought something from me and it got to your place and it wasn't eating and you immediately threw it up on Facebook that this animal sucks, I don't know why it won't eat, I'd be pretty pissed off. So, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I just think that the breeder should be given the opportunity to fix the situation. If they don't, then by
most,
all means...
99% of the time, they probably could. I mean, you just got to let it go, unless the breeder's a real dick. But, you know, I know most of the people I know who wouldn't do that. I mean, I know most of the breeders that I talk about would bend over backwards if something was going cockeyed with an animal that they just sold a person because they don't want you to have a bad experience because they want you to come back. So,
sure. Yeah, I mean, I deal with it all day long. My job is basically customer service. So, I mean... Running a food store, it's kind of like you're dealing with those kind of issues all day long. This person, I waited too long in the line. This wasn't fresh, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's all about, you know, that person comes up, and 9 times out of 10, they're ready to punch you in the face because, you know, they had a bad experience. And you have two options at that point. You can either argue with the person and call them a fucking idiot and, you know, don't come to my store anymore, you know, and then you lose business. Or you can try to understand where the person's coming from, calm them down, figure out the situation and how you can fix it. And it's taught me a lot as far as, you know, just dealing with that side of it. And I guess in a nutshell, to me, it's the pros to me for selling online is the fact that I live in my own little bubble of a world, taking care of my snakes, and you know
I
what I mean.
People.
because sometimes I don't know. Sometimes I'm very jealous of like guys that just kind of do their thing and don't really get involved on the bullshit online and the arguments and the you know what I mean? They just kind of – they breed their snakes. They have their reputation, and they kind of just do their thing. And people just come back to them over and over again because they've established a name, and, you know, and that's kind of it. Then the other side of it is that I would you know, selling at a show. If I could do a show, 4 shows a year, to where I knew that, you know, I would be able to hit my audience or my customers, and able to get that in a way. So, like, you know, like, I know there's Hamburg that's around here, but to me, my strategy would be, okay, maybe I do one on the East Coast. Maybe I want to do it down on the, down South. Maybe I do one on the West Coast. Maybe I do one somewhere, you know, like Tinley's out in the Midwest, that kind of thing, to where I'm able to sort of jump around and do that. Now, that's an expensive thing, but it also puts you out in front of the customer. You're able to put a name with a face, develop a relationship. And I guess the cool thing is that you can sort of judge, you know, what's the level of the person that you're dealing with. I mean, you can kind of do that online too, through email and telephone call and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know. When you're face to face, there's just that there's something extra that you that you're able to do. I mean, look at Europe. Ham, that's the only way that they buy animals, right? They don't ship. So it's like you know, that's how they do it. So. I don't know. So that's kind of my thoughts on that. Well, go ahead.
Well, you can see the new school versus the old school stuff, when it used to be like you got a list of animals in a mail, and you were like, oh, I'll take this, sight unseen. Just there you go. So, you know, obviously things are different, and people want to know what they're getting, want to know what they're seeing, want to know what's going on with it. It's just the way it is. And you have to have good customer service, even if you are just doing it. It's a hobby, because otherwise people are going to label you a weird, dickish person, and you're going to totally not have anybody coming to buy your shit. I mean, yeah. I want to see the firmness of your resolve. I'm going to come to your supermarket and just, like, raise hell and see how you handle me. So, you know.
Well, you're a totally – well, there's my normal customers, and then there's customers that I reserve the right to handle. And
I get tased in aisle 4, and you're like, this is all – this is, you know.
It's done for you, brother.
Yeah.
You get squirted with the hose.
I said, it's
awful.
Yeah, it's over. Said, you have to buy the bananas before you eat them. I'm like, yeah, so you know.
You know,
yeah, you do that in front of your employees, they'll never cross you again.
a perfect example is food poisoning, okay? So you have people that have no concept of how food born illnesses are transmitted, and they have no concept of, you know, how they get sick off of eating food, right? Usually, yeah. Typically, you're looking at 24, 48 hours, but most people will react to the last thing that they ate. Oh, my God, I just ate this. I'm so sick. I've been throwing up all night. But, you know, it's not even the case. So do I sit there and argue with the person and say, well, ma'am, you know, you're wrong, because that's scientifically you know what I mean? It's just like, okay.
See, you know, this is how I could never do your job. Well, you're an idiot. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that would just be.
Clearly,
you're a goddamn moron, and I hope the next time you eat something poisonous, it kills you to remove you from the gene pool. Good day. But, you know, that doesn't go well.
and then you have the other thing. I've had this experience where people will they'll come. It's a 90 degree day, right? So they go shopping, and the first place they go is the supermarket, and they put their milk and their meat and all their perishables in their trunk, and then they drive around and shop all day, and then they get home, and then they go and they're like, oh my God,
my milk is bad. No shit, Sherlock.
You know? And they bring it in and they sit it on the counter and they're like, yeah, this is no good. I'm like, your milk is 105 degrees.
See, that's the thing. You know what? And I've had that experience where I had somebody buy some corn snakes from me, leave the show and come back and say they were all dead. And I, of course, immediately went, oh, okay, no, it's no problem, you know, I'll replace him. I gave him, you know, he bought two cornstarch, I gave him like three to, you know, just kind of smooth everything over, and the guy left. And then I'm sitting there and I'm looking at the baby corn snake in the you know, little deli cup, and I'm like, Andrew, pop this. He opens up the deli cup and hits it with a temp gun. They were 120 degrees. And I'm like, son of a bitch, you know, because if I had known that, or if I had temp gunned it, I would have told the guy to get bent. I'd be like, there's no way this animal was taken care of properly. You put it in your car, didn't you? And then you went out and you walked around and did some other shit. That's how this thing died. And I would have told you no, but I wasn't thinking. I was thinking more along the standpoint of, oh, this must have been something that I did wrong. I will take care of it right now immediately. And I did. So, you know, don't always jump to the conclusion that you got to fix it. I would attempt to find out all the facts. And if it is something that you could have prevented, I would go above and beyond to make sure it was correct and right. But if you are not wrong here, don't end up screwing yourself just because these people did something dumb and are trying to cover it up. You know, if I sent out a package to somebody and I said, you know, it's going to arrive at 10:30, you got to be there to get it, blah, 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 blah. It arrives at 10:30. I usually have a stopwatch on me and I start it. And because I always tell you, you have to contact me after the package arrives. So once I have confirmation from FedEx that it has arrived, which normally happens about 2-3 minutes after the damn thing actually gets there, your clock is ticking. Because
right.
If I don't hear from you from, like, and I usually send an email, send a text, call. If I don't hear from you and 6 hours later you call me and tell me the thing was dead, I'm going to contest that you were not there to pick it up. That
right.
You were at work, you came home, and it was sitting on your front porch in whatever temperature degree weather or rain or whatever else is going on. So, you know, now you've got some explaining to do. If you tell me immediately, or if you call me, or if I see a bunch of missed emails or something, it makes sense. But you really got to not. Don't fold too quickly, but definitely if it is something that you could prevent it. You, of course, you make up for it because you want to keep the business, keep the customer, make sure everybody's happy. But, you know,
right?
There are assholes on both sides of the fence.
Sure.
So, I guess where you playing devil's advocate would be, you know, fair. I don't know.
Right.
I just want to walk around your store with an open bag of Doritos and see how many of your staff members that can make you feel uncomfortable before, like, you get on the computer, before you look at the security screen and go, like, son of a bitch, and then I just run. So, you know.
Get the guy in aisle three.
God damn it, I know him, and then I just like, I flee. So, you know.
Take
yeah.
No prisoners.
Get him.
But, all right, so we are just about out of time. I thought we were only going to go 15 minutes, but we went an hour. So there you go. You got a four-hour dose.
You got an hour. You got an hour, you bloodsuckers. I mean,
of Morelia Python Radio. You know, I keep toying around. I guess I can talk about this on air. I keep thinking about, like, the idea of, you know, I really like the whole idea that what Brian Barchek did with snake bites. He made the Animal Bites TV, and he's got a bunch of, like, different guests and whatnot that are on there. Hosts that are on there, and it's pretty cool. And the idea of, like, making a channel type of thing to where we do, you know, other topics or, you know, that are outside of the realm of Morelia. Like, you know, I know we've talked about it and toyed with the idea of, you know, doing a different night or once a month or, you know, something like that kind of thing. So it's not our typical Tuesday show.
Are we talking like a videotaped show schmingy? I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I really like to get away. We've talked about this to where we have we're off of Blog Talk and we just do our own separate podcast and you know, we have more freedom and we don't have to worry about, you know,
time constraints or
yeah, exactly. You know, you
that
can
weird
do,
lady that counts us in and out of things that, you know, only we can hear.
Yeah.
She's annoying, guys.
Anyway,
yeah.
So. I don't know if that's something that everybody would be into, or if
I
that would even be worthwhile.
I think it's something we should explore, because I, you know, have a voice for radio because I do not have a face for television. but I still think it would be fun to have that kind of stuff, because, I mean, you imagine taking a camera and talking to some people at Tinley or Hamburg, or going over to somebody else's house to check out their collection, doing a full up and down of everything that they got going on. It would be really cool to have. So
I want you to do the funky announcer voice too, like that crazy "Hey, all you
hey
crazy
everybody!" Yeah, it's like guys doing bullshit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Can we have like over the top things, like, you know? Now we cut through, you know, Chris Foley in a gorilla suit. Yay! And the camera like goes back and forth and twitches. And you said carpet pipe. And that's a secret word. Ah! Yeah, yeah, man. We no one would watch.
My name is Owen McIntyre.
McIntyre.
That's right. Morelia Python
live.
Radio.
In person. Well, it's not Morelia Python radio. It would be Morelia Python TV, jackass.
Oh, yeah.
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 Anyway.
No one would watch.
I digress.
I digress. Here we are.
So, next week we have, like we said, Justin Julander coming on, and should be a cool show, Herpin' in Australia, some cool stuff lined up for sure. Hopefully this week, I know I said it was going to be last week, but time has been tight with me as of late, but hopefully I can get the calendar thing started and put up the rules and all that kind of stuff so we can get that rolling. So be looking for that. I guess we'll announce it all over the place, but if you're going to post your pictures, you're going to have to post them over on mp.com. So.
Yes. If you post them on Facebook, we don't care how pretty it is. It's not getting in the calendar.
That's right. And we added a special category this year that's a non-Morelia. So that kind of falls.
So you guys are actually... The calendar is going to be all the Morelia categories as normal, but it's going to be the last one is going to be a non-Morelia species. This way, maybe by staring at a white lip for a couple of, you know, for a whole month, you guys will want to maybe get involved with something different than a Morelia, something else that's equally cool that we, you know, we find to be pretty awesome. So,
yeah, speaking of white lips, I just thought I would throw that out there that you know how I'm a fan of the gold phase, and I know everybody raves about the black phase, but when Chris posted that picture today of the gold, oh, dude, it's a done deal. Those things
that
are
that is Rosalind. She's our big girl. She's a bitch, but you know what? She is in the right light, man. She just gets pretty. I am a firm believer that white lips, especially the golds, will, like other species, they just look more colorful in certain lights or certain hours of the day. And you can see he went all out with the caging, because she's sitting on top of a den that he built her. And these things never come out of the dens now. So, you know, they're very, you know, secluded. They don't ever want to be seen. They're a very private species, so we're hoping that maybe we'll get lucky. But she's our big proven girl, so... And she's actually the mom to our other female, so she was looking very pretty in the picture. So.
Okay, so all that we said about payment plans and all that, and not having babies, I get first. Well, after you, obviously.
You know what? You're actually, if you want, there's a list for the. There's a list. There's an actual list of people I have to contact when black-faced white lips are hatched. There is no one on the list for gold-faced white lips.
Sweet.
If you want, I can put you at the top.
Put me at the top. On that list.
Actually, I'm sorry. No, there is someone. There's Scott Borden. You're, like, below him.
Oh.
But all he wants is one. So.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
There you go. Yeah, all right.
There's an actual list. You were said
there's
to be
there are lists. There are actual lists.
You were sending
not many
me
people
something.
On the list.
Yeah, you were sending me something today, and I can't remember what it was. And you were talking about writing something. What post did you put on Facebook today?
Well, it was Chris. Yeah, Chris put up the picture of the gold, and everybody was like posting and liking. I'm like, Chris, write these people's names down. They're all buying trios when we finally produce. And Chris is like, okay. And that was pretty much what I said. Is that, you know, by liking or commenting on this picture, you've all locked yourselves into buying trios. So,
right. So when I went, I actually didn't send the actual comment because I was wondering why you didn't comment back. I was like, Owen, stop stealing my quill pen, put it down, and figure out how to breed them and stop making lists of two people who want them.
Stop trying to drum up publicity and freaking breed them already. So, yeah,
here's
Here's
an idea. If you want to sell baby snakes, make baby snakes.
Make them. You make baby snakes.
Yeah.
That's a hell of an idea, and I didn't think about that before, but you might be right. The White Lip Project might go better if, you know, we were producing. Thank you for your wealth of wisdom there.
I will leave you with that.
All right. Do we have to do a rundown, or do we just say goodnight now?
No, we just say goodnight.
All right, we'll see everybody on Tuesday. Good night.
All right.